ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
According to Krishna from this chapter, we will learn that it is better to work in Krishna consciousness than කියලා චිත්ත වෙනසියට. අපේ චිත්ත වෙනසියට ස්කන්ධ මතක වෙරාකි. දැන් නන්දස් වසන් යාත් දෙක මහා ප්‍රබෝධ අරොත් වෙනස් ඉඳව. There is no use wearing the best of renunciate just for the sake of earning respect. By internally maintaining unwanted sexual desires. Such a person is like a monkey, he said. Like a monkey goes to forest, he doesn't wear any dress, he looks like a sadhu. Such a sadhu from Naga Mahapasana doesn't wear any dress. If you go to Kumbh Mela, you'll find they have long hair and matted hair and they don't wear any dress. So these monkeys are like that, they don't wear any dress. But they have a dozen of girls and they're going to enjoy. So there are many sambhas of both as renunciates who renounce everything and go to places like Himalayas and Haridwar and such places. And they apparently lead a renounced life. But very soon they fall victim to the sensual and sensual attractions. So such a kind of renunciation is not at all recommended. So here in the earlier chapter we saw text number 61. Krishnadvaja Pranisharvaya Samyamya Yukta Asita Matvaraha. Krishnadvaja, the real meaning of intelligence is to not only withdraw the senses but to engage them in mind service. So, the mental speculators also ultimately have to come to the platform of Sanatrishala Advanta Seva. As Krishna explains elsewhere, Bahunam Janmanamaste, Jnanamatmam Prapachate, Vasudeva Swaramukhi Samanatmati Gallabha. So, because Arjuna is doubting like this, Krishna will explain very clearly. The next time also Arjuna has a doubt, he's asking, Jyanishtai nirva vankyena buddhim mohaya sivame sadekam badanaschitya ekam badanaschitya nipane. Tell me one thing at a time, Krishna, don't confuse me. He's asking, my intelligence is double that by your equivocal instructions. But please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. So he's asking, Prabhupada explains how Krishna explains Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, and control of sense of intelligence without physical activity. So, so many things Krishna explained in the earlier chapter. Now Arjuna is telling him, please tell me one thing at a time. What I should do in my life. Then here Krishna begins to speak. Very, very enlightening shloka from here. Third shloka, the ninth shloka. Very gradually Krishna takes Arjuna involving karma yoga. He begins to explain from how there are two types of transient bliss in this world. Location, Dvidha Anishta, Pura Prakta Mayanaya, Jnana Yogena Sankhyana, Karma Yogena Yogena. From here it begins, there are two types of transient bliss. One is a Jnana Yogi, who practices Sankhya Yoga. And another one is a Karma Yogi, who practices Karma Yoga. So here we will understand who are these two people. From here Krishna will take him gradually higher and higher, will explain who is a cheater, who is a real karma yogi, and how work in Krishna consciousness is better than simply renouncing the material world, giving up everything. And then he will culminate the pinnacle of all these shlokas, the highest, the ninth shloka, where he will explain about yajnyaka karmanaha. But the real karmana, here, work should be performed and sacrificed to Vishnu. That is something with ninth shloka, right? So, these shlokas are very, very important. We should stand very attentively and nicely understand them. So, who are these two people? Jnana Yogena Sankhyana. Regarding Sankhya, in the 39th shloka we learned in the last chapter, Krishna says, no, that I have concluded the Sankhya approach. Esha, Esha Devihita Sankhya, Buddhi Yoga Jamakshana. Till now, I told you about what is Sankhya Yoga. And henceforth, I will describe Buddhi Yoga, he said. So, actually, Sankhya Yoga is considered to begin from shloka number 13. 13 to the shloka number 38. All are coming under the description of Sankhya. Actual meaning of Sankhya means, what is the meaning of Sankhya? The count. Sankhya means the count. So Sankhya Dharatya means counting the material elements one by one and analytically understanding them. That is the meaning of Sankhya. By beginning from earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, and then the five jnanendriyas, eyes, nose, ears, tongue, and skin, and the five karmendriyas, hands, legs, anus, genital, rectum, and speech, and five karmas, taste, sound, form, smell, and touch. And then, how many are over? Somebody counted? How many are over? 15 only.
Running,
නිකන් ගන්නවා. අදිනේ දෙච්චට කොච්චිය. හතරක්. හතරක් 100 මීටර් 200 මීටර්. So, in the same way, Abraham first means to simply submit oneself to an authority. And such submission is not blind. Why? Because, first of all, before submitting to an authority, one has to evaluate the authority. Like before you buy gold in the market, you have to evaluate the gold, isn't it? Whether it's 24 carat or what? How many carats? You have to check the validity of the purity of gold. Then you can buy it. So there are different varieties of tests available to understand whether a person is a genuine guru. When you come to a so-called Tatmas, this thing, Tabuti Pranipatana, you will learn in more detail about the spiritual master. But one has to identify your person in this world who can lead us back to Godhead. And once one has identified a person, then one has to completely submit oneself to the spiritual master. And here accorded knowledge from him. And then by learning from him and following, that is called the Avrohan path. That is like a straightaway approach. That touching the nose subject directly. Very easy. Direct approach. Otherwise one has to go through this. Jnana yogena sankhyana. By approaching a spiritual master, one can learn how to do karma yoga. How to be a part of the world and work at the same time, not get entangled. Exactly like a lotus leaf in which there's a drop of water. But remember, have you seen it? A drop of water and a lotus leaf. You know, in general, that at the least expected moment, it will fall away from the leaf. So it is having absolutely no connection to the leaf. In the same way, we can remain as a part of the world. This morning we were discussing how this is explained, I think, by Abhut Samaraja. Very beautiful example of wind is given. The wind goes to sometimes garden, fragrant garden, and takes fragments. Sometimes it goes to waterfalls. And by going through the water, it becomes completely fresh. And it is fragrant and fresh. The same rain sometimes passes through garbage and passes through cutters, passes through meat shop, and carries some abominable smell, obnoxious smell. The same rain. But the wind is actually completely free from this kind of, what do you call it, the rancid smell or the fragrant smell. Wind is not attached to it. In the same way, he explains that the Atma is never affected. Atma is completely free from both. It's free from sukha and dukha. Actual sukha and dukha is there in the mind. In the same way, we can live in the world. At the same time, perform such activities by which we will not become entangled. The entire chapter is oriented towards social life. That is why it is called as karma yoga. So, here the same thing, location in duvida anishtha, kuram sakta mayanaga, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. So, Shri Prabhupada makes this famous quote, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. That means if somebody is following some kind of religion, like I said, we have to surrender to a guru. So one should not think I should surrender to any guru. In India, it's very famous, people go to any guru and surrender. Generally people who are coming from pious families, if they come across some Baba, some Sadhu, immediately they surrender. Sadhu Baba is living in Vrindavan, they say, Ashi is living in this place, that place. People quickly surrender without questioning about the validity of the guru. Later on, they come to know that this guru is bogus, he was a cheater, he was a womanizer, so many things they come to know. And then their entire family gets disturbed. So one has to be very logical in reasoning and understanding the qualification of a guru. That is very important. But it is too important, religion and philosophy. Krishna consciousness is not a blind process. Everything is explained with proper reason. Prabhupada, in one of the purpose of Bhagavatam, gives a very, I will not tell the name of the sadhu, but he explains about a particular sadhu very strongly, very heavily. So, standing on the strength of Prabhupada, I will try to tell the same example. Prabhupada says, spiritual knowledge is not yet electrical transfer. Just like sometimes, you know, when sadhu is there, he keeps his hand on somebody's head. Another person sees the electric shock. And then he feels some kind of chakra. That's it. And then all the universes are attacking, revolving around his head. And then the guru starts crying tears. Oh, I have given all my knowledge to you. Now I am gone now. So spiritual knowledge is not just a kind of transfer. It is foolishness. Spiritual knowledge means, when you say Upanishad, the disciple sits near the spiritual master. And hears all the philosophy attentively from the mouth of spiritual master. And he understands that. logic and reasoning, and he inquires in the spiritual master, why is it like this? Why is it like that? Why could it not be like this? And the inquiry that the disciple is making are not nonsensical, are not whimsical, are not intended to simply provoke the spiritual master, but the inquiries are meant to help the disciple get clear of his doubt so that he can smoothly advance in spiritual life. They are heard with a great sincerity. The inquiries of the disciple are made with very great sincerity at heart so that the disciple can smoothly follow. So, when the disciple hears like that logically, or the knowledge of the spiritual master, gradually he gets clear of all the doubts. And then the knowledge is established in his heart. That's the power of the nashtiki. Nishthana becomes in the heart of the disciple. That is how the knowledge comes to the spirit. So in India there are so many gurus, so many bogus gurus, people cheating. In fact, majority of the gurus, some gurus are giving medicine, some gurus are promising gold, some gurus are promising ashes. Different gurus are promising different things. Some people go to such gurus for material well-being. Such gurus are not at all considered gurus. So later on I will discuss more elaborately about this. I will talk about spiritual master. Please do not take it to your heart. Take it to your head. This is a very serious statement. Especially after being a guru. Many of you might be coming in a particular family. You all must be performing some puja at your home. I mean, maybe you have some family gurus or some traditional gurus. When I talk about gurus who are cheaters, we are certainly not indicating harm to any particular person. Anybody who is not faithfully following Krishna's instructions, and anybody who is not a devotee of God, is not at all a guru. A guru means he should come in directly plan, and he should faithfully, sincerely follow himself. If he is unable to follow, he should admit. He should not get to be a charlatan pretender. Just for the sake of public popularity, he shouldn't be taking the role of a guru. So, here, as he is saying, many of the impersonalists, Mayavadis, here, properly explained in the purport, how, according to the Danda Grahana Matrena Naranarayana Bhavet, this is their slogan. Meaning, as soon as you accept the Danda, you become Narayana. That is why they will be saying Namo Narayana when they say. Using who? He is taking Narayana's name. He may be thinking he is a devotee. But they are not devotees. When they say Namo Narayana, they say because you are a sannyasi, you have become a Narayana now. I am a sannyasi, I am a Narayana. So purpose is Narayana, Narayana, they meet each other. And they greet each other as Narayana. And when they see poor people, they call them as Daridra Narayana. They might conduct these people very strongly. You might have heard some people, even some innocent people, serving some other mission. They tell us, what are you going to do on Saturday? They say, on Saturday we go for Daridra Narayana Seva. So ask them, what is this Daridra Narayana? How can Narayana give us Daridra? Narayana is always having a eternal concept, goddess of passion, standing on his path. Sorry, Krishna. So they say, Daridra Narayana Seva, going and serving Narayana, or calling Alatasna Namo Narayana Seva. So, such sannyasi is calling each other as Narayana. You can imagine, already everyone is adequately proud. And when you are addressed as Narayana, Narayana, you become more proud, thinking you are the Narayana. Only certain letter is missing in your hands. So, they become proud and they fall down from that position. So, someone kind of someone borrowed from there is a very vivid explanation. How one should take up the sannyasa ashram of life very seriously. There is a very vivid explanation. Sannyasi is one who never worries about name and fame in society. And he doesn't have hundreds and thousands of disciples surrounding him, and he doesn't want name and fame from them. And he is least concerned about that. He sees gold and stone to be the same. And he goes from place to place. He doesn't stay even in one place for one night. He moves from place to place. He doesn't stay under one tree for even one night. He just stays under one tree and next day he's in a different tree. He travels from place to place. He never becomes attached to anything. He's exactly like a child. He moves from place to place. He doesn't become attached to anything. And he is never fearful. He is completely careless. He boldly goes from place to place to preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness boldly. And there are many descriptions like that. When we discuss in the 13th chapter, we will very elaborately describe about the life of a sannyasi. So, such a person only should take sannyasi. If somebody is really renounced. So, if somebody prematurely takes sannyasi before achieving such qualifications, of becoming completely fearless, Advaishta, Sarvabhutana, Maitra, Karunaya, Vacha, Nirmamo, Nirahankara, Samadukkadukashami, he says, Santushta, Sarvanyogya, Atma, Vivanishchaya. Many, many qualifications Krishna is explaining for one to become very determined in spiritual life. that is one text of Sanyasatra, it is meaningless. That's what Krishna says here in the fourth shloka. Na karmana manarambha nashkarmyam purushasmate yatasanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction. Not by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Please try to understand these two statements. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom. Many people of this world think that by they sometimes see Brahmacharya in the ashram chanting and dancing. They think we have to work so hard. How nice it is to give up all work and stay in the ashram. One time when I was going in a rickshaw, even a rickshawala told me, he told that he also wants to join the ashram. I asked him, why do you want to join? He said, I had a fight with my wife today. So I want to join your ashram. How many days do you think you will remain in the ashram? Hardly even for a, not even for a day. Again, he will have an agreement with his wife tomorrow. So, here he is saying, not merely by abstaining from work can one achieve freedom. Do you think simply by giving up work you can achieve freedom? Do you think by becoming inactive you can achieve freedom? Possible. It happens. We don't deny, even in our moment it could happen. Sometimes people give up everything and they come and stay. But after a month after they will realize, my Lord, this life is very tough. You can't remain like this. Because always the soul wants engagement, and especially the engagement in sense gratification, which is very difficult to give up. One time a king was passing by and he found a sadhu sitting peacefully. So he asked the sadhu, what are you doing? The sadhu said, I am sitting and meditating. So the king said, oh, your job is so easy. But my job is so difficult, I am managing the entire country. And so many soldiers and so many people. Sadhu said, your job is nothing. It's very easy, sadhu said. King became angry and annoyed. But this person doesn't know my value. King asked, can you do my work? If you can, you take it up. He said, sadhu agreed. Sadhu said, you sit in my place, I will sit in your place. He extends his job. Then the king sat and the sadhu went in the hall. He went to the palace. By the time the sadhu reached the palace and before he sat on the throne, the king was back. King said, it is impossible. It is impossible for me to sit under a tree peacefully. I am meditating. I cannot do that. He said, I cannot sit, I cannot stand. I have to perform the activity of a king. Restlessly. This is what faces me. It's very difficult to give up work in this world. So, simply by giving work, if one tries to become a renunciate, that is an artificial platform. On the other hand, maturity, to renounce the things of the world and stay in ashram. So, you think, not by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. And even if one has simply assumed the renounced order, do you think he can achieve perfection? Certainly not. Like I was explaining here about the sadhus, different people. Ideally speaking, a mental speculator can never give up prescribed duties. Only a devotee is allowed to give up prescribed duties. That is a much higher platform. That Krishna explains in the first shloka. There is a first shloka of today. Nahikaschik chanamapi jata tishthanka karma krit karete hiyavashak karma sarva patrati jai gunaihi. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So here, Krishna explains that why one should not just give up work. Why should we not give up work? Because all of us are born into different modes of nature. Some of us are in tamaguna, some of us are in sattvaguna, some of us are in rajaguna. And these three modes are acting upon us. You see, artificially renounce the world and try to situate ourselves in siddha sattvaguna, claim to be in siddha sattvaguna. That is from the experience of all time. So we cannot renounce the work artificially. Then what can be done? Should we renounce work or should we act? That's what Krishna is going to explain in future shlokas. That we have to work, but through work, that is Krishna yat karoshi, yat ashnati, yat jiroshi, zhadiya, yat tapasati kaunteya, tat kurusha, mat arpana. Whatever you do, whatever you give, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, all that you are doing is, this thing should be offered to me as a sacrifice. And this will lead to gradual purification. Then, one can come to the platform of Siddha Sattva. Otherwise, one should artificially renounce. Now, when we talk of renounce platform, we are talking about sannyas platform. That's very important. We don't talk about Brahmachari platform. We talk about sannyas. Sannyas is a real renounce platform. So, one shouldn't take up sannyas order unless one is liberated completely. Only a liberated soul can become a sannyas. If somebody is not liberated and he becomes a sannyas, then very soon he will experience karma. So, here Prabhupada also explains the purpose that a devotee who is performing prescribed duties for the sake of purification in the world, he He might give up his prescribed duty for the sake of performing Krishna consciousness. Is it all right or not? Is it correct or not? Is it all right that one can give up one's prescribed duty and get to Krishna consciousness? It's a very, very deep subject. Dharma sanishthita pamsa vishyaksena katasyaha na utpadiyet agratim samayevahi kevalam. And then the three shabdas come there, all of them in your mind, and then tell the answer. He says, dharma sanishthita pamsa. A person who is very carefully following his prescribed duty. Sanishthita. Sanishthita means sadharma. He's doing his own sadharma. Anishthita pamsa vishyaksena katasyaha na utpadiyet agratim. In the core of his heart, yes, yeah, loving affection for Krishna is not arisen. Then such a performance of prescribed duty is shramayevahi kevalam. It is a mere waste of time. And another sada he says, what is it? Arapumbya tujat sreshta varnasama yubadasa sanishtikasya dharmasya sansiddhya haritoshanam. The varnasama order, brahmachari grahasa vanapa sannyas is meant only for one purpose. That is sansiddhya haritoshanam. One should perform the Varnashrama only for pleasing Lord Hari, he says. So, that means, performance of prescribed duty should lead us to loving affection for Krishna. If it doesn't lead, it's a mere waste of time. On the other hand, if one gives a prescribed duty and completely engages in Krishna consciousness, that is also welcome if it is done under the order of spiritual master. One shouldn't do the brinsikari. There is a shloka told by Narada Muni, very beautiful shloka. He says, Tatvātva dharmam charanambujam hare padanna patko tapate tado yadi tatrattva vabhadrama bodha mushyakim ko bhatta apto abhadata sadharma kaha. He says, Tatvātva dharmam, a person who gives up his sadharma for one purpose, charanambujam hare, for the sake of taking shelter of Lord Hari, for that purpose he is giving up his prescribed duty. What about it? Bhajan apakvota pateta tajadi. Apakvota means what? In apakva? Immaturity. Bhajan apakvota pateta tajadi. Because of immaturity, he is falling down from his spiritual status. Narayana is questioning in the next of that. He is saying, Yatrakva vabhadyam abhudam ushyakyam. What loss is that in such a fall down? He is asking. Kovata asro abhadyatam sadarmatana. And what does a person achieve? Simply by performing prescribed duties without achieving Krishna consciousness. How do they understand this question? Very deep question. Who can say the last two questions if they ask us now? One person can say, one devotee. Somebody can try? Third question, third line and fourth line. I ask two questions.
What is the loss of the
Krishna consciousness? Yes, that is nice. Huh? So what loss is that in performance of Krishna consciousness, even if a person falls down? How can you justify this statement? Anybody can justify this statement? You have heard second chapter thoroughly and justify this statement. So here it is saying, what loss is that even if a person falls down in Krishna consciousness? We got it. Yeah, what is the sloka? Sloka? Neha Vikramana Sasti, correct. Mehavikramanasasti Pratyavayana Vidyate Samsamapyasa Dharma Chakrayate Mahatabhaya. So he has endeavored, and even if he falls down from his status, still whatever he has performed will go with him. On the other hand, if somebody is very nicely performing his prescribed duty, every morning he is waking up, he is brushing his teeth, and he is eating the breakfast, then going to office, and performing his duty as a whatever, everyone has prescribed duty, farmer has his farmer duty, businessman has a businessman's duty. Every person has his own prescribed duty. So one is performing his prescribed duty but is forgetting Krishna. Then such a life is considered bogus. It's useless. Kovata ato avasita asudantara. What gain is going to be there in such a life where there is no Krishna consciousness? Is all. So, in Krishna consciousness, when one is surrendering, it is said that Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Asa, Nena, Pitrana, all the debts that a person has for his father, mother, Deva, Rishi, and different demigods, all the rinmets, debts. Nakinkara, Nayam, Rinicharajan. A person is not at all obliged to any of these people when they surrender to Krishna. Look at the direct process. So, here Prabhupada explains about this, Shloka Rahikashi Chanamati, that everyone is distressed in this world and wants to perform activity. So one should situate themselves in the world and continue to perform whatever is performing, and direct that cultivate the subconsciousness. And one is very strong and very determined to completely absorb himself in Krishna consciousness, then one can give up this capacity. Then such a giving up of this ability also is agreeable, because it is meant for Krishna conscious like that. Do you understand this, or is it difficult? Actually, a little bit has to explain here about the being active. No? See, matter is always dead, and the spirit is active. Just like if there is an aeroplane standing in a particular place here, it may remain here for millions of years, it cannot move. But if one spiritual spark enters the plane, then the aeroplane will fly. So what moves the aeroplane is the Atma, pilot, in that module aeroplane. In the same way, Krishna says, Bhumi Rapo Anala Vaju Kham Manaha Buddhi Repacha Ahankara Iti Yamne Dinam Prakritis Ashtata. These eight things, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, they all are actually inferior matter. And then next one, what he says? Apareyam Yatasvanyam Prakritim Vijjane Param Jiva Bhuta Mahabhahu Vyedam Dharyate Jagat. He says, Apareyam. There is also Apareyam Yatasvanyam. Besides the inferior matter, there is also superior energy. What is superior energy? Prakriti? That is not the Prakriti, that is not Purusha. He doesn't say, Apriyam, Itasanyam, Purusha, Nirparam. He doesn't say. What does he say? Prakriti, Nirparam. So we are also Prakriti. Jiva is also Prakriti only. That means Prakriti means enjoyed. So the dead matter is called as inferior energy, and the Atma is called as superior energy. So superior energy is called as superior. Why? Who can say why? He can manipulate inferior energy, that's what he has. It is a very fast. Even matter is not a person person. Wow. Huh? Actually, there is nothing that is separate from Krishna. It is external, of course, but even matter is coming from Krishna. Matter also comes from Krishna only. Because it can manipulate, now you are suffering me, huh? Bharata was agreed. Because it can manipulate matter, that's the main reason why it is. For example, like you have taken a wooden tree and you have made this table, isn't it? And then so we are manipulating matter. We can do that. In fact, the inferiority can do, superiority can do so many things in this world. You can see, nowadays we have computers, we have electronics machines, we are sending rockets. How much the super energy is there? And the super energy is Atma. And you can manipulate matter. But body is also made up of matter. Is it not? Is it not? Body is flesh, bones, mucus, everything is made up of matter. And we are Atma, we are superior. Why can't we dictate the matter to not entangle us? And tell the body, where are you entangling me? Leave me. I don't want to entangle us, that is. I want to go back to God. So you dictate the matter and you leave it and you go back to God. Can you do that? Why are you not able to do that? So how can this, this is actually inferior matter, how can it condition you? Very, very clear answer, right? She told the essence of the eye. No, of course, if you can come here, that is, we have superior energy, we should be able to dictate matter. Oh, that was the answer, sir. Share your answer, yes? Yeah. We have only got the same with this air, but then who does the activity? That is the activity, very correct. They both have the correct answer, sir. Yes, correct. This is actually Prabhupada's statement. Prabhupada says this, please, can you read the purport of the shloka? What is the shloka? Vaivijesha vanamayi mamaya adhraktaya mamedi ekapasyante mayame mamparasite. This body is dead matter, it has no power to control you. But because Krishna has told this matter to control you, it is controlling you. That's how it is. That's how it is able to control you. What understand this point? This body is controlled by the divine will. She was telling the same answer. Paramatma is dictating the karmana devane trena. Paramatma is dictating the matter. Put this man and you entrap him and you trouble him. Let him undergo all the suffering. Then let him realize the truth. That is why he dictated. So, once having acquired the body, then the superior energy forgets his nature and identifies with the body. And then he engages in so many metaphysical activities. This yoga is very significant. Mahika 6 සංසි ධාතු සදකර්මක කාර්යතේහි අවශ්‍යය හැප්ලස්ය අවශ්‍යමෙන් හැප්ලස්ය හැප්ලස්ය මේක ඇක්ටින් ද ස්වල කරින් ද මොඩ් බෙටර් ඔන් ද සල් එක්ස්ප්ලේන් හවු සදෘදේ ග්‍රේමනා තේ මොඩ් ද මේකින් පීපල් ද ඇක්ට් Although they are making that help us, it will depend on your desire, as Shesha is telling us now. We desire, and the three modes are making us dance, like puppets. We become like puppets in the hands of three modes after that. So everyone has to do the activity. See Krishna, how intelligent he comes to conclusions, you see. He is telling now, my dear Arjuna, nobody can become inactive. It is not possible. Everyone has to be active. Everyone is acting helpless in this world. So he is telling Arjuna that you are also first to act, you also have to act. But how you should act, I will teach you. So it's not possible to become inactive because we are under three modes. And especially when we are under the three modes, it is impossible to become inactive. It's not possible. So while being active in this world, how we can design our activities, mode our activities in such a way that we can purify our consciousness. That one should think of. That's what this man is telling us. Just imagine the soul, when it is wrapped in this body, if it can be so active and so dynamic, there are people who travel three countries in one day, you see? Morning there in one country, afternoon in another country. They're doing so much business nowadays, which people traveling. So the Atma, even after being trapped in an embodied condition, can be so active. You can imagine when he is liberated from this body, how active he will be, can imagine. That's like, sometimes in schools you see, you know, children participate in a sack race, you know sack race? You put them in charge, still they run, being in charge. And that is the first place, second place, third place. Even in a sack race. So we are all in a sack race now. We put them in a sack. What is the sack? Still they are so active. But when you are taken out of the sack, imagine how fast you will run. Isn't it? So Atma is, by nature, very dynamic and very active. So, Krishna tells Arjuna that Atma, the nature is dynamic, so it is artificial to become inactive by going to a secluded place and becoming inactive. So you have to be active, but the question is, how to be active? The person in mode of passion is active in the wrong direction. The person in pure goodness is very dynamic and active, but he is in the right direction. So we all have to be dynamic, but we should know in what direction. So we will start with this one today, just by, then we will go ahead with, when we go to 6th, 7th and 8th and 9th, then we will understand more clearly how one can work in this world without getting entangled, just like a Kamalatal, just like a drop of water in a lotus leaf, without becoming attached to the world. And such performance of work is very blissful, because when you do work like that and don't get entangled, Isha Prinsip says one can live for hundreds of years without getting entangled. You can go on performing work for hundreds of years, you will never get entangled. All your work will be in proper pure Krishna consciousness. That is the art of all work, actually. That is the meaning of real yoga. That we should learn how to work. So, in our present moment, we are neophytes. We may not know how to make decisions. But when we, especially when we read Tantra, the first and fifth chapter, mostly we read and learn and understand and digest this thing. At every point of time, we can clearly see, this is material work, this is spiritual work. You can clearly see. Some people come to a quick conclusion, that now I am going to college, that is material work. Now I am going to temple, that is spiritual work. That is foolishness. Because going to college or going to company is not considered material for a devotee. If a devotee is devoting time in the morning to chant the Lord's names and read Bhagavad Gita, you cannot forget the Lord in the daytime. It is very difficult. Do you try it? Isn't it? When you go to company, most of you are reminded of devotees. Sometimes you are reminded of the Lord's darshan. Sometimes you are reminded of prasadam. Prasadam you are mostly reminded. So, something or the other you are reminded in something connected to devotion service. Because our process is so powerful. The morning, if you chant 15 rounds, and you take darshan of the Lord and you do mangalarti at home or in the temple, then in the daytime you are surcharged something like a bulletproof layer on the body, something like a vibrant energy in the body. All day you cannot forget something of the devotional things keep on coming in your mind. So if one keeps on performing this for years, he will become a perfectionist in this process. So we will learn as we go ahead. Oh, I was telling about the work. Then your work is also considered divine. The work you do in the company, or what the work you do in the college, is considered spiritual. That is the purpose. For that matter, Arjuna was fighting in the battlefield. It looks like a passion, actually. But because he was following the order of Krishna and fulfilling Krishna's desire, that is a purely spiritual thing. There is not a tinge of material most active on him. You all understand this point? So we will learn more about it in future. Any questions? One question. അന്നേരം പ്രത്യേകത അദ്ദേഹം വൻ ആത്മസാന്ദ്രത്വ കൃഷ്ണനാണ്. അന്നേരം പ്രത്യേകത ആത്മസ്ഥിതാണ്. കമ്മേതാണ് ചിദ്ധ കണവാൻ ആത്മ പുരസ്തു കൃഷ്ണ ഭക്തരോഷി യദശ്നാഥി വട്ടവരി ജീറ്റ് വട്ടവരി ഇത് വട്ടവരി ആഫർ വട്ടവരി ജീവത് ഡ്യൂട്ടി ആഫർ ടു മീ കൃഷ്ണ. സോ വട്ട് വി ഡൂയിങ് കർമ ഇസ് ആന്ദ്ര കൃഷ്ണ. ദാറ്റ് വി വിൽ ലേൺ ലേറ്റർ. ലേറ്റർ വി ഷാൽ എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ് ദേർ ആർ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഹു വർക്ക് ആൻഡ് ആഫർ ദ ഫ്രൂട്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ. But there are other devotees will explain. Rama, they have all existence to Krishna. Ultimately, both come to the same platform. That's not the same. Panyagi and Bhaktiyagi. Ultimately, we will come to the pure platform of Bhakti. But there are very slight differences. You don't have to worry about that. But if whatever you are doing, we should offer it to Krishna. That should be our point. Any other questions? Is it too philosophical, this chapter? I think there are any stories today. You make the move along with you. We are actually, whenever we go to the material, we always think, oh, this person, you know, he likes coffee and he is going to offer me coffee. And if they say no, some people may say no, you know, they feel it to be a great humiliation. Especially in companies and all, no? When a friend is offering you something, he's telling you, why don't you take this thumbs up or why don't you take coffee, no? And he says, no, I don't take it. He feels as if you are kicking on the face. They feel like that sometimes, very humiliated. Sometimes devotees say, what to do, you know, friends, when they ask, you know, we cannot say no to them. You have to adjust with them, you know. But we should adjust with them, they should adjust with us. That should be by our behavior and practice, they should show them. In fact, as for a bit of time, they will appreciate your strictness. In one Muslim company, in Arasam says, you know what happened, it's a real story. There were many Hindus working there, and they used to go with Vaishnava selects like this. Many people. So one day, the owner of the company became very annoyed. He said, what is this Hindus are all putting selects and coming to company? How is a Muslim company, all Muslims are there. Why these people are doing like this? He banned that. He said, from today on, we have a rule, put on the control. So one man, next day he came with that. He knew that he would be thrown out of the job. Still he came with that. And the message went to the owner. Then he waited for a couple of days, 3 days for it. Every day he came with Tilak. And he called for him after a week. So he's wrong. And then he asked him, are you not afraid of your life? How dare you come into company like this? He said, sorry sir, I cannot give up my principles. If you like me to come like this, you allow me, otherwise I will leave the job. Then the owner told him, okay, you will be the only person permitted to come with Tilak. Nobody else. He's still going with Tilak. So, people will certainly appreciate that you are a man or you are a woman of principles. If you follow that, people appreciate it. Like for example, if people see devotees, in the beginning they will try to ridicule you. Sometimes you are so sensitive to ridicule. If some people are talking there, you think they are talking about me only. You think like that. If you become a little afraid, they will be talking about something else. Isn't it? They say, I mean, you are not, what did you tell about me? Or sometimes they ridicule about that. But if you don't care for the ridicule, then they become angry upon you. What I said, I am ridiculing so much, but the devotee is never caring for the ridicule. And they should anger on you. Even after they become angry, still you don't worry about them. You are going on with your Krishna consciousness with full conviction. Then the third level is, they gain respect for you. Then they will respect you. In front of you, they may not respect you. But in your absence, they will say, well, this person is not an ordinary person, he's very strict. You know, he doesn't touch me, he doesn't do that. So many things they will say. They will be pitying for the Krishna consciousness. And on behalf of you. But it's true that you can see that. So we should stick on very firmly to our principles. We should never give up. And I don't mean that we have to be very fanatical. There is a very thin borderline between what is fanaticism and what is acting according to time, place and circumstance. There is a very thin line. Thin line is, for example, sometimes we can give examples of fanaticism. How a devotee could be fanatical. Can I answer this? Of course, we can follow spiritism, but we don't have to broadcast. When we tell about spiritism to others, or like for example, a person first comes to you. First, he is just coming to you. The first time. And then you are going to your company, and then you call him and say, do you know about our movement? Yes, what is our movement? You follow four regulative principles. You know? You are not telling anyone who is Krishna, ධෛර්යය දෙන්නකෝ. අපිට සම්බන්ධයි ධාර්මයට සම්බන්ධයි. ඒක ගලසන වන්තෙන් ජීවන ත්‍රංකාදර මොකද වෙරිම සර්ජිබල් පචාටින් හරි ක්‍රිෂ්ණ. ඒක ජෙනරල් පචාටින් හරි ක්‍රිෂ්ණ. එනිබඩි ඉස් ඇරජිස්. බට් වන් වොන්ට්ස් ටු මේක ටැන්ජිබල් ප්‍රෝග්‍රස්. දැන් වන් හස් ටු ෆාලෝ ෆෝර් ද ග්‍රේටර් ප්‍රින්සිපල්. එනි ෆාලෝ ෆෝර් ප්‍රින්සිපල්. දැන් ඒකම බ්‍රාහ්මණ. මෙනි බ්‍රාහ්මණ ඇක්චුලි ඇක්චුලි ප්‍රාග්‍රස් කියන්නේ සම්දාරිට ධෛර්යය දෙන්න ප්‍රාග්‍රස්. අනේ නෑ නෑ නේ ඩොන්ට් ෆාලෝ දම්. Then you go in a very, very sluggish way, like a snake, basically. Very sluggish. So, of course, you have to be very practical by speaking to people. But we shouldn't adjust ourselves so much. But over a period of time, we become like them. Instead of they becoming like us. That is very important. But as far as devotees who are influencing the people, there was a devotee who was going for book distribution abroad. You know, in abroad, countries abroad, it is very dangerous to distribute our books. Because there are Christians and other religious people who are deadly against us. And the government is sometimes supportive. And they catch them and put them in jail and they give them so much severe punishment for that. So once one of the ISKCON devotees, he must have remained in ISKCON for about 10 years or 12 years. So he was taking a van and going for distribution and he was caught red-handed in one place. And they found out that he had so many books with him. And they put him in the jail. And then, I think about 2 weeks after passed, and he belongs to a faraway temple. And those temple devotees, they were all lamenting. So our friend has gone to that jail. I don't know what is happening to him. He is going to fall down from his spiritual life because he has been miserable now. Police may be punishing him. And so many things they were thinking about him. And so they sent 2 representatives from the temple to inspire this devotee. To go and give him prasadam, give him clothes and to inspire him so that he will not feel left alone, you know. So they sent 2-3 devotees to go and see. In the meantime, after 2-3 weeks, the devotee was living in the jail. When the 2 devotees went to meet the devotee in the jail, as soon as they came to the police station, they found the sub-inspector with chilak. And they said, Hare Krishna, they said. They were stunned completely. Two inspectors were sitting outside. And then, when they went little inside the jail, they could hear people clapping hands in mridangam and kartas, and roaring jayarana mother was going on. And they went inside to see. And then they came from the jail. I think they saw at least about 70-80 people were there. And they were sitting with closed eyes, chanting Jaya Ramada, playing with them. Kirtan was going on. He was doing Bhagavatam class. So very softly and silently, like a cat, they went and sat behind and heard a nice Bhagavatam class and got inspired. Instead of giving inspiration to him, they got inspired by him. So they are very influential devotees like that. They can go to other people like that. So we should try to influence people by our devotional qualities, not become influenced by them. Sometimes when you go outside, when you travel outside, you don't want to speak about Krishna, you are afraid a little bit. Or you think, you know, why should I necessarily pick up quarrel with someone? Only it ends up in a quarrel. So you think better keep quiet. So you keep silent sometimes. So what happens is that person starts influencing you. You know our philosophy, you know, Osho or something like that, he starts talking. And he starts putting so much garbage in your mind. And then you try to be very silent. Pratikshava, no, keep silent. And we become very influenced by them. We shouldn't become influenced by people. We should, Krishna Prabhu was telling us that whenever there's a need, we should quickly speak philosophy for me. He said, I'm a specific businessman, that even till date nobody has dared to offer me a thumbs up or any cold drink. Or anybody has, nobody has dared to ask me to eat something from a hotel. Always put them from my home or I take on fruit juices like that. Why? Because once a person tells him a word, why don't you try this? Then you will start pitching him for 1 hour. That person will get fed up. You'll never tell him again. So, he told me, this is my tool, he said. So, devotees make such a speech, always. So, actually, preaching itself is our armor. You understand the point? Preaching is our armor. You preach? See, by preaching, you are never going to become contaminated, isn't it?